Family Worship Center, those in the house, those online, hallelujah. We're excited you're here. Listen, you are blessed. And I'm here to say all God's promises are yes and amen. He is faithful. Faithful God you are. Faithful ever you will be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Zion's Lions Kingdom Kids will be with Melissa. If you have your offering, thank you for giving. Continue to give unto this house. You cannot outgive God. You cannot. Amen. This church has been superly, doubly, I don't know if that's superly, awesomely blessed. Hallelujah. So, Father, we come before you tonight, Lord God. We are lifting up holy hands, and we are saying thank you, God. Thank you for our brother. Hallelujah, that you have spared his life, Lord God. We know, hallelujah, that that is your heart, hallelujah, to set free. And we just thank you, Father God. This is going to be a night of celebration, hallelujah. A night, Lord God, like no other, because we thank you, Lord God. We lift up your holy name. Father, we thank you for our worship team. As we enter into your presence, Lord God, we thank you for the pastor, Father God, that's going to bring forth the word tonight, Lord God. We thank you for our children, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the mighty people, the warriors in this house, Lord God. We ask favor and blessing upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the glory. And I forgot to say, I think it was March, April, could have been May. We were here at the church and we transplanted a rose bush. Everyone said this rose was dead. I don't know how many people said, why did you kill that rose? Why did you replant it? Look. It's what we think is dead is not dead, church. It's alive. It's alive. So worship. Worship, worship, worship.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched on. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Oh, sing praise. Sing praise. Setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is with us.
Oh, praise God. I hope you came to sing praise tonight. Yes, he is worthy. He is worthy. I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good, it's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I won't worry about tomorrow, trusting what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Putting my fears aside, I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me. It's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't worry about tomorrow, trusting what you say. Today is the day. I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
In all my days I'll live for you.
All my days I'll live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
In all my days I'll live for you. In all my days I'll live. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. Trusting what you say, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
See your victory for the battle.
see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends.
Think about that.
I know how this story ends.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see victory.
Well, I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you.
I'm gonna see victory, declare it.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Name it is.
love was made of. Thank you, Lord.
But can separate us now. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life. Death could not hold you, death could not hold you. Veil tore before you, silence the ghost of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, sound is the glory, for you are raised to life.
You have no rival,
you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
You have no rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You have no rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
Death cannot hold you.
Death cannot hold you. Death is before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. Your you are raised to life. You have no rival.
Come on, yeah.
You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above.
You have have no rival. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ.
My
the
name
King.
Of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against us. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against it. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Amen. Oh, just worship His name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus. We worship Your name, God. We worship, hallelujah, the one who has no rival, the one who has no equal. Hallelujah. Oh, no other name, 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 no other name. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we glorify your name, we glorify you, God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, you are everywhere. Father God, Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your might, God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, Lord, that we are hid in you, God. Hallelujah. God, Lord, that we are hid in you, God. God, Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that in you, God, there is no rival. Hallelujah. That in you, there's no equal. Hallelujah. That in you, hallelujah, death is defeated in you, God. In you, death is defeated. Grave has no power. That there's no other name greater than you, God. That in you, hallelujah, I have hope in you, God. I thank you, Jesus. We stand here tonight. I glorify your name that we stand in you, Christ Jesus. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give the King, hallelujah, the Most High. We worthy. Worthy is His name. Worthy is His name, God. We glorify your name. We bless your majesty, God. We just adore you. Hallelujah. We exalt you. Can somebody just bless his name tonight? Can somebody just praise him? Can somebody just praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we thank you, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just say thank you, Jesus. Just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. One more time, give God praise. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, before you sit down, tell your neighbor, hallelujah, greater is he that's in you, hallelujah, than he that's in the world. Tell your other neighbor, greater is he that's in me. Tell your enemies, greater is he that's in me. Tell your enemies, greater is he that's in me. Come on, tell COVID. COVID, greater is He that's in me. Come on, tell cancer, greater is He that's in me. Tell your addiction, greater is He that's in me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glorify His name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glorify His name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. You can pray for a minute. Come on, hallelujah. Just pray for a second. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let me get a drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm really just overwhelmed. I honestly, I could just say amen. And sit down because, I mean, just... I don't know if Tom and Ken, if you're watching... God, that you didn't get mad, you didn't get bitter with God. I mean, last week at this time, they were in, she asked my wife if we would pray for her husband because she was going to begin to pray for those that are on the floor that were in the same condition her husband is. She was going to pray for them. That touches my heart. Sometimes we get so concerned about me. Sometimes we get so concerned about me that there's other people that are suffering, that are people that are hurting, that I'm willing to step aside from my own pain for just a moment and begin to focus and to begin to pray and begin to speak about somebody else. I get concerned about someone else's hurt, somebody else's pain. It's not easy to do. And from that moment there, God began to work something in my heart about the body, about Christ. This is called the body. It's a series and it's called the body. Say the body. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you born again?
Yes.
Shout it loud, I'm part of the body. I'm part of the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are part of a body, a collective whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Each one of us are part of this body, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That God intended, that God's heart is, His intentions are more than we think. And I just pray that I can deliver this. I pray that I can begin to share this and give this the way that my heart sees it, the way that I've been hearing it in my heart. So thank you, Brother Matt. I'm going to look at John. Let's look at John real quick. I just want to share these. I want to give these to you. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Tell your neighbor you need reminded. That you're part of something bigger than yourself. Come on, you're bigger than, this is bigger than you, hallelujah. This is bigger than you. It's not just about me, it's about we. Yeah. Tell your somebody, we.
We.
Come on, say we. And this is, I want you to see this. This is in John 17:14. And I'm going to read here a little bit because this is something that is not technically the way that you think that we're to evangelize. See, when you think of evangelize, you think of it different. But see, Jesus looked at evangelism different than what we did. And here, I'm going to help you. I want you to see this because I really didn't get it till I read this and I realized that Jesus looked at evangelism different than I look at evangelism. And he says this, and this is in 17:14. It says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world, because I've given them your word. He says, and I pray not that thou shouldest take them out, but thou shouldest keep them from sin, from evil. That we are in this world, hallelujah, for a purpose. And Jesus says, because they have influence in this world, I pray, because if there's influence, if you have something to say, if you have something, hallelujah, if the enemy knows that you have something to deliver, he will try to confront that. So Jesus says, I pray, hallelujah, say I pray. I want you to get this and know this, that Jesus is praying, hallelujah, for you to flow with the will of the Father. He's praying for me. I just want you to get that. He's praying for me. That I come into union with the Father and with His Word. That I stay in that place. Because when I stay in the Word, you got to hear this. He says, and He said, I pray that thou shouldest take them not out of the world, but you keep them. But He will keep us from evil if I stay in His Word. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Say, I'm not of this world. Stop looking like it. I listen, sometimes I read scriptures and sometimes it slaps me in the mouth. I'm not telling you, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this is what it said to me, the Spirit of God, when I read this. Come on, amen, Dan, listen to this, watch this, listen. He says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Stop looking like it. I'm not to look like the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We've been talking about this, how important the word of God is, that we are not to be ignorant of God's word. Take God's word, begin to read it, because what happens is you begin to read God's word. What does it do? It washes the body. It cleanses the body. It begins to, come on, because we get out in the world, sin has been dealt with. Say it's dealt with. But what happens is there's a lot of things that we get in contact with by accident. Sometimes they get on us that because we are in this world but not of this world, and I need a remedy, and it's called the Word of God. I need a remedy, hallelujah, that washes me. It washes me. It's the Word of God. And all those things that contaminate me, I want you to know, here's what I mean by that. Because people will come to you that are of this world and begin to try to speak things in your life, maybe not on purpose, but because they know another way. They know negative. So they'll speak that. You got to get the truth. You got to wash yourself. Tell your neighbor, wash yourself. You need to wash yourself. Come on, amen. In the Word of God, we wash ourselves. I gotta keep running that over me, because we get contaminated. There's a lot of negative things that come around us. I gotta get the truth in me. I gotta get washed. I gotta get cleansed from whatever's contaminating me, that it doesn't stay on me. That I don't bring it into the house of God, hallelujah. But I got a word. I've been washed by God's word, and I got a word from you, hallelujah, from the Lord. See, the world, we live in a consumer place. It's consumer. Consume, consume, consume. A generation of consumers. But Jesus says, I want you to be a giver. Say amen. Help me tonight. I'm going to take my time. Is that all right? What'd you say, Kel? Hey, wasn't that a good word last week? Yeah. And get ready, because I'm going to start pulling on a lot of you in this house. Come on, because a lot of you got a word. Get ready. Some of you are preachers. Some of you aren't preachers. Some of you will be preachers. Amen, amen, amen. He says, and as thou hast sent. And get ready, Tom's coming back and he's going to share a testimony. He's going to stand in this place and he's going to give a testimony, hallelujah, of the glory of God, amen. And the house is going to shake. He says, come on, just give him praise. Come on, give God praise for that. So we're sanctified them through the word of truth. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. This is what it's saying. He says that I have given myself as a sacrifice that we could be together.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Jesus. Come on, amen. He says that nothing will separate you. That nothing will separate you. Nothing will separate you. Nothing will separate you. Come on, amen. Nothing will separate you. He says, and he said this, for thy sakes I sanctify thee that you be in the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but also for them. I'm also praying for them that don't know it yet, that I died for them. Those that don't know it yet. Come on, I was one of the didn't know it yet at one time. I was a place where I didn't know it in my heart. I didn't know. I knew about it. I knew of it. Hallelujah. But it wasn't something that was arrested within me. Come on, amen. That causes me to be arrested, to stop me in my tracks. Hallelujah. To pull me out of darkness and to begin to walk in the light. Amen. But Jesus was praying for me. Not just for the church, but he was also praying for those that are lost. Come on, amen. That we need to be a church that prays for the lost. Amen. We need to have a place in our hearts that every day, I ask this of our church. I ask this of our church that we begin to pray that we have a heart for the lost. Come on, amen. I want you to pray that way. I want you to pray. These are the two prayers I pray every day, that I have a heart for the lost and that I have a heart to love God unconditionally. That I begin to love God unconditionally, whether I get my way or not, that I love God in spite of that. Hallelujah. That I judge God faithful. The Bible says that Sarah judged God faithful. That means I can also judge God unfaithful. He's never unfaithful. But people judge God unfaithful, blame him for things that he hasn't done. I want to be at a place where I judge God faithful. See, man, Sarah was, this isn't even it, but listen, Sarah and her husband were beyond their age. Come on, God brought them beyond their age, hallelujah, that to bring forth a miracle out of that place that was dry. Come on, that place that was, that there seemed like there was no hope, amen? But all that it took was faith to believe, to judge God faithful. Man, I feel that. He says, and neither pray for the alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word. That those that will believe through your word, through your testimony, that those will believe from your word. What? God turns around, he puts it back on us. Through your word, they'll believe. Is it my word or is it the word that's keeping me his word? Is it the word that I'm washed by? Because they will not be changed by what I have to say, but they'll be changed by what God has to say. What I have to say will never change the world, but what God has to say will change someone's life. And he says, this is it right here. This is the evangelism. This is not what we usually see as evangelism. And here's what it says. Ready for this? They that are all, that they all may be one as the Father art in me and I in him, that they also might be one in us, that the world may believe. That thou hast sent me. That they will believe because they are one with the Father. He says, listen, this is evangelism. This is evangelism. He says that this will change them. Wow, really? That's really not the way that I think. No. So God says, listen, they will be changed. They will love, your love one for another, hallelujah, will draw them in. What was the scripture you quoted in my office?
First Corinthians.
That your love... That our love, one for another, they'll know we are his disciples. They will know by our love, one for another.
I want to help you. Come on. This is why it's going to be a series, because I don't want to jump through this, because I want us to see this, because we got to get this. We got to know this, the responsibility that God has placed upon us for others to see the oneness that we have with the Father. How could you have this? I want you to know that they killed Jesus because of this communication, this oneness that he had with the Father. It disrupted the world. See, the world doesn't want you to be, the world system, it doesn't, in darkness, it doesn't want you to walk in oneness with the Father. See, that's contrary to the world. Come on, amen? So he says this, he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are." That we are one with Jesus, that we are one with his word, that I stay in a place of agreement with his word. Say, I'm one with the word. See, it's important for us to be one with God's word. It's important for us to be in agreement with God's word. And he says, "I in them, and they in me, that they may be made perfect, mature, in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as thou hast loved me." Wow. See, this influence God wants us to have is an influence that I have such a relationship with God that causes people to say, "I want that. Can I have that?" That my life inspires people to say, "I want that oneness." And I want you to see that, listen, it is so important for us as the body to come into oneness together. We want to see miracles take place. Listen, it won't happen until we come into oneness with one another and with the Lord. Until we come in agreement with God's word on one with another. That we come in agreement with what God says about one another, not what the world says about one another. Not the way the world looks at one another, but the way that God looks at it. We come and we're one with that. That we don't look at the way the world looks at each other, but we look at the way that heaven looks at it, and we become in one with that. That we become in one because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That we become in one with that as a body. We become in one with that. That our hearts become lost with God. That we come to a place with his love. That we begin to love those that are lost, those that are broken. That we move out of a place of being disconnected from those that are hurting, those that are broken. Because everything's working out fine for me. We begin to walk in this rhythm of the world. As long as everything's okay with me. Are you all right? He says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world." Wow. That means before anything even began, he loved you. He loved you. You were on his mind. He says, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have." I had to stop right there today because he says the world doesn't know you. They don't know you, but that's okay. I do. Come on, tell your neighbor, "I do." Come on, amen. Tell your neighbor, "I do." If you don't, I pray tonight that God inspires you to know him like he's never known him before. That, listen, the world might not know him, but I do. Come on, tell your neighbor, "I do." Come on, I know him. That's what God wants you to walk in a relationship. The enemy wants to disrupt that you don't walk in rhythm with God. You don't hide from him because you run to God. You begin to walk with God. You begin to experience in the love of God. That you begin to take hold of that. That you come to a place that I know him. He says, "But I know him." He says, "And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them your name. And I declare it, that the love wherewith we have, that you have loved me, may be in them. And I in them." Whew. Tell someone the same love. This love that the Father had for the Son, Jesus wanted you to experience. gave his life. That you can become in oneness. And that when you become into oneness with that word, you begin to get a heart to realize it's not just about you. I want to help everybody here tonight. I want you to see this, all right? Okay. Let's get going. You ready? So he says, I will declare it in the love therewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. There's this oneness. Do you see this family thing going on here? Do you know that's the heart of God for a family? You know, the biggest thing that is attacked right now is family. That this anger, come on, amen, this problem with the family that disrupt it, I want you, it's right here. Say it's right here. Can you help me with this? I want you to read the next verse in chapter 18, verse 1. Here's what happens. He says that here's this love that he's talking about. He's telling his disciples, he's praying to the Father that they come into this oneness, they come into this unity, that they come to this place where that their relationship, their love for one another begins to catch on and begins to contaminate those around them to begin to want to have this relationship, this oneness of one another. But the enemy tried to disrupt. He says, and Jesus spoke these words to his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where the garden into which he entered with his disciples and Judas, which betrayed him, knew the place. Say he knew the place. For Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. And Judas had receiving a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came with torches and weapons, looking for Jesus. See, the enemy was trying to disrupt the body, to disrupt the family. So it's so important because out of the midst of this, what happens is disciples are made in family. Children are made, come on, amen, offspring, say offspring. Listen, see, they became Christians by, they didn't call themselves Christians, but other called them Christians. I think my brother was telling me that last week, that they called them Christians because they acted like Christ. So they called them Christians. Man, I want to be known as a Christian. Christ-like. Act like Jesus. Say it one more time. You act like Jesus. Come on, amen. And in the midst of that, what happens in that relationship, that oneness, you begin to produce that an offspring. See, God had a desire for a nation, one to come together under one God, hallelujah, under his name, to have this relationship together. That we begin to, out of the midst of our relationship with God, that we begin to create offspring with the likeness and image of God. Are you all right? But the enemy wants to disrupt family. Ephesians 3. Are you all right? I'm going to try to... Are you mad? Can I brag for a second? She got a card from her boss. I want to get a card from my boss. A card from her boss, and it said, I just want you to know that what you bring here, you come every day happy. I thank you. And he said, I thank you for what you bring to this place.
Is there money in it?
No. Listen. So he says, Ephesians 3, 14. He says, for this cause. This is Ephesians 4, 13. For this cause I bow my knee. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, say the whole family. Say the whole family. This is the heart of God. The whole family. Not some of the family, the whole family. In heaven and in earth. That means you're part of something bigger than you. You're part of a collective group of those. Some of those named Sarah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're part of something bigger than you. You're declaring something bigger than yourselves. You're part of something eternal. If we can get this and understand this, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Say that the glory means his resources. Say resources.
Resources.
He says, so where is this? It's in the family. He said that you might be strengthened in might by the spirit of the inner man, that you are strengthened. The resources are in the body of Christ. I'm part of the what?
Body.
When those that are lost, that are hurting, they would come to the body of Christ. And I want you to get this because it's powerful as you begin to study and see all those that came to Jesus, to the body, they touched him in different places. I want you to know that as long as you touch the body, I want us to see that it's valuable that they said that they touched the lower parts of his skirt. You might feel that you might not be that important, but you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body. You're part of this corporate family, this family together, this oneness. You're not by yourself. I want you to see the power in this. See, we all need to get this. We need to grab hold of this in our hearts to see this, that there's something bigger than just me, because the resources of God are in the body. Come on, amen. Say they're in the body. The resources of, sometimes I try to find my resources and I don't get them. It's because I'm living outside of the body. That I'm not taking hold of the body of Christ. That I'm not finding it in the body. Come on, amen. Lift up your hands if you're part of the body. You're part of the body. The resources of God. I got to get this. You're part of the resources of heaven. You're a resource of heaven. Do you get that, Kel? You're a resource of heaven. I am. I am valued. I'm a resource of heaven. I mean, sometimes there's things that the enemy, listen, if we're ignorant, that the enemy will hold on to us. But if we realize how valuable we are, that I'm a resource of heaven. There was a man, his name was Achan, and he held on to something. He buried it in his tent. And because of it, the whole body, say the whole body, suffered because he buried what he had. We are the resource of heaven. Oh, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor you're the resource of heaven. Look like it. He says that Christ may dwell. This is verse 17. Are you ready? I've read this scripture 100 times, more than that, 1,000 times, I think. Because for a year, I've read it every single day. So that's, I don't know, what, 365 days. All right. So. He says that Christ, say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints. You got it up there? Is it up there? Okay. So read it with me. Ready? That you might be able to comprehend with all the
saints.
Tell your neighbor that means you.
That means you.
Come
Amen. That I might comprehend with all the saints, all those that are watching that are part of the body, that I might comprehend. Listen, I want you to get something. I could come to awareness of God by myself, but I will never come to the fullness, come on, amen, to the depths, because it tells me this right now, with all the saints, that I might be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth? And what is the height? I cannot comprehend the depths of God without the saints. I can come to a place where I know God's love, but the depths, tell someone the depths. Woo, come on, when I come into a oneness with God's body, I can come into and know the depths of God's love when I begin to, because why? We're going to get this. You're going to get this. Come on. Because listen, I selfishly want to do it to myself. I want to take hold of my own thing. I want to do my own thing. But when I begin to live outside of that place and walk in what God has, I begin to step into the breadth and the width of who God is in you and you and you and you. I begin to get something that you have to offer. A resource of heaven. See, this is dangerous because if I begin to realize how important you are to me, Randy, I'll quit kicking. I'll quit talking bad about you, Mimsy. Never. You know better than that. Dan, I'll quit talking bad. See, I want you to know Paul was arrested by Jesus. Paul was arresting Christians until he got arrested by Jesus. And when he came to Jesus and Jesus stopped him in his track, he told him, he says, why do you persecute me? I've never done anything to you. He said, my name is Jesus. Yes, you have. Because when you've done it to me, you did it to them. This is a joyful message. Come on. Because when we get a hold of this, you unlock something that's powerful. Miracles, and we'll find out later, are unlocked in unity. There's a blessing that's commanded in that place. So he says there, he said that you come. You can't experience the full depth of God alone. I cannot experience the full depth of God alone. Am I right? All right. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness, say the fullness of God. See, I want you to know that this is why the world tends to tear apart families. Selfish, individually motivated. But God's intention is for a family. Romans 12 says this, present your bodies. Amen? Present your body. Your valuable part. To the full body of Christ. That we present ourselves. The mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, that your reasonable service, and that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you be not conformed to this world. That we do not conform. You know, I want you to know that this is what's so important, that we recognize that we don't conform, because it's so easy. See, because the world is consumer based. Am I right? He says that we got to realize that it's selfish, self-indulgence. It's self-motivated. Come on. It takes hold of its own things. It collects its own. It thinks about its own thing. And sometimes that's not a bad thing to do. But let's look at Colossians and find out some more about this. Are you okay? Am I making sense? Colossians 3. I want you to catch this. Father God, I pray to God, Lord, that we just get this in our spirits, each one of us right now. Pray to God, Lord, that we grab hold of this. 3:10 says this. And have put on a new man,
which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that He created Him. We are created in His image and likeness to represent this family, this image of God. Now we can go and we can begin to look and see this image. What was this image that we could look in the beginning? The Bible says in Genesis that God created Adam in His image and His likeness. And the Bible says that He formed him. You know, God spoke everything, but God touched. He took hold to create man. He formed. Do you know, I want you to get something. I want you to understand something. That's why we cannot live alone, because we were created to be touched. There's something about that, that to be touched, to be in relationship, that we be in connection with one another, that each one of us, the body, be connected. Come on, amen. That we're not unattached. Come on. That we be at a place where that I'm touched. What's that mean? That I'm touched by your hurt. That, Mimsy, when I see your hurt and your pain, that it affects me. Because why? Because we're part of the body. That when my leg hurts, you're part of the body of Christ, and I'm part of the body. And that this part of my body says, my leg's hurting, that I'm affected by it. The world, come on, is not connected that way. It's disconnected from one to another. But God says, I'm looking for a body that's connected. Come on, amen. That's connected. Come on. That can feel one another. That can feel this place where they feel the hurts and the pains from each other. That they feel the pain. That they get in a place where they're not so emotionally detached. Do you know what? That's why sometimes every one of us have moments in our lives where we've been hurt and been broken. That is the way the enemy wants us to detach from the body. I've heard it more than I've ever heard it before. I've got hurt in church. I'll never go back. Satan wins. There's hurts that are real. Listen, are you okay? Adam was formed by the touch. That's why from that moment on, we're looking for the touch of God. We're looking for that touch. We're looking to be connected. Come on, and the body brings that together. It brings us to a place where we're part of it. That I'm connected. That I fit. Say, I fit. I fit. And then after He formed, He created Adam, He said, it's not good. This is the only thing that He did that He said it wasn't good. Every part after everything, God said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But after He just made man, He says, it's not good for man to be alone. See, listen, that was the heart of the Father talking. I don't want to do this without you. So from the foundation of the earth, God had a plan. And you were on His mind to be part of His body. That you would mature and grow up into the head of Christ. That you wouldn't be disconnected, but you would come in oneness. That you would come in one with the Father. I know some of this is deep, but I want you to just, you okay for a second? We're okay, it's just a minute. You all right? Just a minute. He says, yeah, I put a new man. He says, renewed. He says, let me finish here. He says, but to dwell alone, so He created a helpmate. And out of that relationship, they produced offspring. That they were to keep carrying on the image and likeness of a family. Say family. So they bring forth Cain and Abel. And what the enemy tried to do is disrupt the family. To separate them. Because Cain became upset with Abel because of what he brought. He thought it was greater than what he brought. I don't want to dwell on this very long, but there's a whole lesson on this right here. I got to take hold of what God made me, because it's important what I have. What He had to bring, Abel couldn't bring it. But because he became dissatisfied with what his brother had and he didn't have it, it caused him to become angry and separate from it. And kill his brother. And then when God asked him, He says, where's your brother? Am I his keeper? Yeah.
Yeah. You were his keeper. But you were offended by what he had and you didn't have. How many times have I killed somebody or emotionally, come on, amen, or some way because I rejected somebody because they brought something I thought was more valuable than what I brought. And I ended up dissociating with them because I was jealous of what they had. That we as the body cannot be that way, but we gotta value nobody lesser, nobody greater in the kingdom of God. That I gotta value. He needed to value. He needed to be at a place that able, man. Those sheep that you grow, hallelujah, bring forth a sacrifice to God. That's amazing. And I love it. I love your worship that you bring, man. I love the worship that you bring. I love it. Listen, God told him, he says, listen, all right, we're going to go into the next part. We'll share more of that on Wednesday if you want to. He says, in verse 13, all right, let's go to 11. We can't miss this. He says, and this is Colossians 3:11. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian or Syrian. He says, that means that those that are educated or uneducated, those that are poor, those that are rich, doesn't matter. See, the body disregards one another, or the world. The world will cut off, disassociate from one another. Listen, he says, but put on, be robed, be covered, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, compassion of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And here's what I want you to get as I come to a close in this, is verse 13, is the word forbearing. See, it's a nice way to say this, but I'm going to say it a different way. Forbearing means to put up with. See, the world doesn't put up with people. But God says, I want you to put up with them. I want you to put up with one another. Tell your neighbor, put up with me. Because God puts up with you. I know that I feel it sometimes that God says, listen, you know, listen, I'm forbearing, Chris. I have put up with you. Because sometimes you get, but you know what? Listen, do you know what happens? Listen, I had two older brothers and a sister that never did this. But my older brothers, when they got fed up with me, do you know what they would do to me? They would ditch me. I'm going to say it again. Come on, amen. You know, what do you do with somebody that annoys you? You ditch them. I'm telling you here, listen, I want you to get this, because sometimes, here's what the church does. This is what people do that go to church. If the church annoys you, they'll ditch them. If you upset them, if somebody upsets them, what they do is they'll ditch you. You know how many phone calls I've just got? Phone calls. I've invested into people's lives, and I get a phone call, and they ditch me. I don't want to discourage anybody, but listen, some of you might ditch me. See, that's the tendency. The Bible says not to be conformed to the world. But I don't know that we'd be in a place that, listen, what the world does, the families, when they're done with their family, they ditch them. That if it doesn't work out, the first thing I say to one another when people come into my counseling chambers for marriage, I say to them, listen, if a divorce is an option, leave. It cannot be on the table. You cannot be at a place where that you're willing to ditch somebody because they annoy you. I'm here to tell you, people will annoy you. I promise you. You annoy God sometimes. Don't get mad. There's days sometimes where that you go not without even talking to God. Do you think that annoys him? When you're going through something that's tremendous and you're ignoring him and he's like, hey, I got the answer. We're trying to do it on, do you not believe that that's annoying to God? But sometimes
when husbands get annoyed with their wives, they ditch them. That's what the world looks like. But here's what God's saying. I want a body that bears. I'm looking for a body that puts up with one another. You don't ditch people. That you come to a place when you make a vow, when you come to this relationship with the Father, that you say, for better, for worse. I'm part of the body. For better, for worse. Well, how far is worse? Is there a line? Is there a line? Is there like, you know, like I tried to define that with the Lord. Like, is there, because there's like, sometimes you feel like, you know, oh, these people. I thought, man, God, is there a ministry in Florida maybe I can go to? I'll be honest with you. I was at a place a couple weeks ago where I just felt like things weren't happening the way that I thought they were. And my flesh felt like ditching. Not God. But then God began to speak to my heart this. As I began to put some demands upon God, I felt the Spirit of God saying, what am I doing? You have no negotiating power. Because it's no longer you that lives. You're a dead man. It's Christ. Sometimes we try to get God to fit our plans, to fit into our selfishness, our indulgence, our ways. And I had to repent. I had to be at a place where I repent, where I'm saying, God, Lord, I'm sorry. That we need one another. And I just felt like, I said, well, how long do I go? And I felt like Nehemiah, where God said to him, he says, listen, he said, go preach to them. Or Jeremiah, I'm not sure which one. He said, go preach to them. He says, to all of them. He said, they're not going to listen to you. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to do their own thing. But you do what I told you to do. Okay, God, for how long? Till there's nobody left. Till nobody is left. Be faithful. Because this is my body you're talking about. He says, and I want you to bear with them. And I want you to suffer on their behalf like I did. So I'm looking for ones that are willing to suffer, that if your finger is hurting, that your whole body hurts. That as Tom was in the, I think the thing that affected me the most was I thought, would somebody be standing in the gap for me? And I'm in a bed and I'm alone, I'm by myself fighting for my life. I want to know that there's somebody that the body is fighting, that they're willing to pray, they're willing to get beyond themselves, they're willing to be at a place where they, man, you know what? This is sometimes it's uncomfortable, sometimes it's my way that I want to do my own thing, I want to fit into my own plans, but you know what? If I got to just get there, I got to pray, I got to be at that place, if it makes me sometimes get outside of my schedule, I'm going to do it, because I'm going to do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. I want people to be at a place where that they will stand in the gap. Hallelujah. God's looking for people that will stand in the gap, that look like Him. That's what changes the earth. That's what changes. That's evangelism. Would you stand to your feet? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Forgiving, 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 forgiving. 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 One another. Man, I just, if you want to do a word search, I just did this just for a second, if I could just give you this real quick. I looked these words up and I had that jumped out at me, and it says, one another. Submitting one to another. Love one another. Comfort one another. Confess to one another. Be kind to one another. Be affectionate one to another. Just a few. If it's in the Word of God, it means that, man, I need to confide. I need to begin to get in that. I need to be part of one another. Because this is bigger than me. He says, "In if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, forgive them. And above all these things, put love, which is the bond of perfectionness. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called into one body. Say one body. I just want us to realize how valuable the body is. You have Christ in you. And the gifts that you have, don't hide them from one another. Because you're a valuable, you're a lively stone. You are. You're not a brick. Bricks are common. But a lively stone means it's been cut to fit in a particular place. I want you to hear this and know right now that you are cut to fit here. You are cut to fit here. That together we could build a house. God says, I'm looking for a dwelling place. I'm looking for a place that I can abide in. Hallelujah. That I fit into. I want to be part of the body. That in that place, miracles take place. When I come into union with Him and oneness with Him, we come fit together. I don't try to fit my own way. I don't try to get my own way. I don't cut and run, but I stand for bearing. Heavenly Father, I pray right now. I pray, Father God, right now that we stand. I feel, God, Lord, that your heart, that you, the prayers that you said for me to pray are prayers that we love those that are lost, that we come to a place that it begins to cause us, it to move us, hallelujah, outside of a selfish plane and to begin to move into an understanding and a love and that we've never had for people that are lost, that are broken, for one another, that we come to a place where we begin to want to call one another and bless one another, lift up, stir up, cheer up, and begin to speak into one another's life. And Father God, Lord, that we pray to God, Lord, that we begin to love you like we've never loved you before, that you give us the strength to love you. Because in our own strength, we're selfish. But with your help, that love will swallow us up. God, Lord, we'll declare with all of our hearts that we are. Amen. God's knocking. Open up. Let him in. Amen. Come on. Amen. Bless somebody.